Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. Hi, my name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. We deal with boxing news, interviews, legend tales, and boxing history. Without further ado, our radio aficionado, Bob Murray, man. How you doing this morning, Bob?
I love the way you do that, Aaron. Good morning, everyone. Yes, indeed. Hey, you know what, too? Not only am I being myself today, too, but later on in the program, I'm going to turn into Henry Haskup, too.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, that's great. A lot of great things Henry always does and is doing.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame coming up next week. So we'll get into that. But I've pulled something off the website. And, of course, it's written by our historian, Henry Haskup. So, like I said, we're playing both roles today.
Henry's getting ready. They say Henry's busier than a one-legged dog in a butt-whooping contest. Hey, but Bob, what's going on around the world in boxing?
Well, yeah, we've got a couple things to talk about. We'll go around the world to start, but then we want to touch base on a couple other things that are happening with HBO and some of the fights from last week and some of the things that might be coming up, too. So let me clear my throat here for a second. Okay, there we go. We're ready. All right, El Paso, Texas, man. That's where we're going. That's where we start tonight, down in El Paso. And they're going to have the world championship fight down there tonight. Miguel Burchild, he's 34-1, 30 wins by KO, defending his WBC World Super Featherweight title against Mickey Roman, who has a big record of 60 wins, 12 losses, 47 of those by KOs. And that's the ESPN Plus fight on the streaming service later. Bob Arum putting that show together. 26-3 featherweight Miguel Mariaga, he steps in with Jose Estrella. He's 24-14-1. An unbeaten lightweight, Saul Rodriguez, 21 wins, 0 losses, 1 draw, takes on Claudio Alfendo Tapia, 28-18-4, as part of the big undercard there. Out in Brooklyn, New York, light heavyweight, Sylvain Barrera, he's the Cuban refugee, 21-2, 14 KOs. He takes on Irish Shawnee Monahan, 29-1, 17 KOs, and they do battle as the main event there in Brooklyn. In Augusta, Georgia, Justin DeLoach, 17-3, takes on Michael Odhiambo, 15-9 as the feature. Montebello, California, will host Adelaida Ruiz. She's 6-0, 3 KOs, mixing it up with Joseph Vizcaino, 7-7, 3 KOs in the female super flyweight special. And up in Calgary, Canada, we have Devin Reddy, 11-0 versus Flavio Michel, 8-2 at the top of that card. Over now to Glasgow, Scotland, in the UK. They have a big night top with Ryan Burnett, 19-0, 9 KOs, defending his WBA Super World and vying for the vacant WBC Diamond Bantamweight belt against the former four-division world champion Nonito Donaire, who has an overall record now of 38 wins, 5 losses, and 24 wins by KOs. We also have unbeaten Josh Taylor, the Tartan Terror, 13-0, 11 by KOs, taking on the fellow unbeaten Ryan Martin, 22-0, 12 KOs for the WBC Silver Super Lightweight strap. And Zach Parker, 16-0, and Darrell Williams, 17-0, vie for the vacant Triple BFC British Super Middleweight crown. York Hall in London has their night highlighted with the co-main event. You have 13-0 Jay Harris battling 8-1 Ross Murray for the Commonwealth British Empire flyweight title. And both Kirk Garvey, 11-1, and Andre Sterling, 8-0, seek the vacant Triple BFC Southern Area light heavyweight crown. Their cruiserweight seeming Nicaea third, 5-0, fighting Ken Calperton in the headliner at Erlon. And Alicante, France, to have the battle for the IBA Continental Welterweight title between Bryce Passot, 11-1-1, and Steve Jameau, 24-5-2. In Marseille, it's Mahmoud Taha taking on Matez Lourenco in the super welterweight feature. And in Roubaix, it's lightweights Malik Farné and Merrill Vegas going at it. In Brest, it's Batur Grassi versus Dimitri Haley in the welterweight headliner there. And the fight for the EBU European Union super lightweight belt will be held tonight in Baden, Germany. with Timo Schwarzkopf, 18-2, facing Florin Cardoz, who was 19-1. Sofenberg hosts the Fatih Altunkaya, 7-0, and Lars Barre, 3-0, contest for the vacant German International GBA Cruiserweight crown. Kloppenberg will highlight the Cruiserweight tilt between Erdogan Kadriza, 9-1, and Hamza Radera, who's 19-15-3. Super welterweight Naipaul Nemcov is featured in Lubeck. In the Sport Hall in Muzla, Slovakia, we'll see two fighters making their debut in the Super Featherweight feature as Laszlo Zok battles Robert Kuhn. And now on to South America, Santa Fe, Argentina. This will be on the TyC TV Argentine Sports Network. It's the clash for the interim WBO Latino Super Featherweight crown between Luis Ernesto Rueda, 18-1, and Hugo Alfredo Santillan, 18-4-1. In Buenos Aires, female featherweight Dania Ramos, 6-0, and Vanessa Del Valle Calderon beat up in that headliner. Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, they have Brian Ribeiro and Ismael Bonfim battling for the Brazilian super middleweight title. Kaelon Chile hosts the bantamweight clash of Jose Velasquez, 22-6-2, versus Abel Leandro Silva, 5-1-3. Caracas, Venezuela, it's Aldery Portillo, 12-1, stepping in against William Riera, 8-0-1, in the Super Flyweight feature. And back across the Atlantic again to the African continent, to Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, where welterweight Eid Pialare, 25-3-1, and James Oyongo, 24-11-2, top the night. Heading out now to the Far East, we stop by in Tokyo, Japan, where Kazuto Takisako, 9-0, and Sanosuke Sasaki, 12-6, fighting for the Japanese middleweight title. Quezon, Philippines, hosts a couple of regional championship fights as Aranio Similano, 16-9-3, takes on Edison Barrera, 16-39-8, for the Philippines Boxing Federation, the PBF bantamweight title. And it's Chris Alfonte, 14-7-1, versus Zoran Parma for the PBF super flyweight title also. Beijing, China, we have lightweight Zhang Zhongsun, 14-0, 10 KOs, and Roldan Aldea, 12-5-1, beating up. And Toowoomba in Queensland, Australia, they host the fight for the vacant Australian Queensland state heavyweight title between Herman N.A. Purcell, 13-7, and Willie Nacio, 11-3. Super lightweight Steve Spark, he's 6-1, battles Taisha Ozawa, 21-1-2, as the headliner right down there in Australia. Probably going on now. Anyway, there we go. Quick look around. Not a lot happening compared to some other weeks. We have 15 different countries. Everybody kind of taking a breather. Eddie Hearn's back from his trip across the U.S. and taking a week off on the DAZN stream. So the big thing tonight is just the ESPN Plus, but some HBO things happening this week, too, which we want to touch base on. First of all, we had the fight last week where Jacobs is now our new entry into that the world middleweight crown. He's wearing the IBF crown now. He said we just kind of turned over a lot of those titles in that middleweight division, but HBO pulled in $500,000. That was the average.
Yeah, well, you know, it was a good fight with the champion starting fast, knocking him down in the first round, and it was a back and forth, like we said. Dymchenko, you know, he would have to fight.
Right.
And in the middle rounds, he did that, but he couldn't make the adjustments where Jacobs was making the adjustments in the later on in the fight. And he bring the victory home. So, you know, with $500,000 viewers, you know, impressive, but however, you know, on that next tier where the Mayweathers are at, Canelo Alvarez, you know, what he does in pay-per-view, it has to be a little bit. Now, if he goes against Canelo Alvarez, the numbers would probably do good. Probably a million point one, something like that. The same number that him and Triple G did, Canelo Alvarez and Triple G, but Jacobs would probably do the same a number with him, and that leads into a great matchup. I think that's a great fight for Canelo Alvarez, and it's a great fight for Jacobs. You get this trio, you know, after losing to Triple G, Jacobs, he regrouped himself and come around. Now he has a title. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
yeah.
So it may have put it the extra kick that he needed to get back to that high level of boxing. Now he knows what it takes, you know, conditioning wise, performance wise, just all around to fight on that high level where there's millions of dollars and networks at stakes of buying this and that. And sometimes guys have to grow into that stage. Some people get it fast in a hurry. Some people grow into it, you know. So that's a great matchup for the middleweight division. And when you got these divisions from welterweight, middleweight, and heavyweight, and the bantamweight division's coming around with our man overseas, hey, boxing's on the move, brother.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to get your what do you think about Pulev there being a Huey Fury too? There's another name now getting back into that heavyweight mix too, and we also see now that Dillian White's going to take on Chisora there. That's coming up on the 22nd of December at the O2 Arena in London too. So that deal is done. That's on Sky pay per view, the Dillian White Chisora fight. But Pulev looks pretty good too.
Yeah, Pulev he went out there and basically. Fury just didn't fight, you know, the fight that he was capable of fighting, I believe. And, he just took the fight. Now he got to go back at the drawing board and maybe he can get some wins. And, Pulev, who'd been there before, he moves up a notch, but that bout you were talking about, they had the press conference over in England. Just the other day, and they're up and running and ready to go. And it's a funny thing. Eddie Hearns don't never stop, man. And this is a great thing about a young guy with energy and stuff like that. His comments was, Wilder is going to have to show him in order for the numbers to move in the negotiation with Anthony Joshua, provided – that he can get past Tyson Fury. You know, that's not etched in stone. But they can they do the numbers? And this is what Eddie Hearns said. If you want, you know, to negotiate, let's see how well you do on pay-per-view. Okay, so now the challenge is in there. Can they do great numbers over in England, in the U.S., on pay-per-view. Now, here's where it gets a little tricky. And you remember I was telling you about Frank Warren's old veteran and, you know, with his moving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's a mover and shaker when it comes into boxing. And it ain't his first rodeo, as we say. He's a seasoned veteran promoter who has had a lot of great champions. You know, Frank Warren has a distribution deal overseas, and that's another with a TV network where he can distribute. So that becomes real interesting, where a lot of people are not thinking about that. That's an interesting thing with him with a TV distribution deal. That's something to look at. Now,
that
in
is.
The United States, will Showtime, okay, will they put it on the line for Dante Wilder in terms of their pay-per-view? Do they do the marketing? Do they do the selling? You know, the fight's moving close. Will they have some extra kick to kick the pay-per-view in what's needed? And will they have a storyline that will carry over into a bigger fight with Anthony Joshua and Dante Wilder, since he's with Showtime Network? This is real interesting. But Tyson Fury, this guy, he stays in the news in England. He's a big draw. What happens if he wins and he comes back? They ain't talking about that Tyson Fury. Now Tyson Fury, he's a trickster now. You can't underestimate him. But if Dante Wilder can deliver that knockout, boy, oh boy, does that set a great matchup with the numbers. That's what we're looking
right
at, Bob.
Hey, I want to go back to Pulev for a second, too. You know, when did he get his shot kind of thing? You know, he was in line to fight Joshua, was prepping and everything, and got hurt, had to pull out. So, you know, did he get another shot down the road, depending how it all shakes out?
Well, you know how it's going to shape out. If Dante Wilder looks great and he gets a Granson blow, guess what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you sit right there and wait. You didn't want to sign before, and they're going to go right into that fight that they already have. Basically, it was a done deal, and they said, well, we have to fight that fight. That's what's probably going to happen. And now Dante
right.
Wilder sits a little longer. He has to go find somebody else that they get. So it makes it real interesting, Bob. This is a real, you know, Eddie Hearns, you know, he can play snooker very well, and he's playing this snooker game like a real snooker champion.
Every time
you think you have him boxed in, Eddie Hearns comes up with a new shot.
And he keeps holding that April date out there for everybody, too. You know, that April 12th or whatever it is. Everybody's focusing on that one. I see he's going to end up there.
We never know. Bob, what's amazing is that he keeps getting his guys pressed. You know?
Yes.
Yeah. And no sooner they think they got Anthony Joshua boxed in with a fight, they think they got him snookered. Oh, Eddie Hearns, he pulls out a great shot, man. And that's what good snooker players can do, you know.
Yeah. Hey, there's some other HBO news, too, we want to touch base on. Now you thought about, you know, the Showtime getting in with the pay-per-view and everything, and HBO, you know, we've talked about them dropping boxing and all this. But how about this deal that went down this week, or lack thereof, actually, no deal, where HBO and Cinemax are now pulled from Dish Network, and also their Sling TV online service, too. You're talking about 2.5 million HBO customers right now that are out. You know, of the total package there from Dish Network. And it's basically one of those situations. These things pop up in cable companies around in the big cities and whatnot. It's a carriage term thing where they're disputing, and they want a guaranteed number of subscribers versus, you know, just the projection kind of, you know, just a plus or minus. So it's a typical thing. But the big problem here with what's going on here, this is a lot to do with the AT&T Time Warner merger, which created this new monster called Warner Media, and that's what this is all about. The feds are against it. They lost the decision, and now they're appealing it too. They're saying this is exactly what was going to happen, where, you know, the consumer at the end is the one that loses out. You know, these guys are arguing from here and there. It's still the guy that goes to turn on HBO and doesn't have it anymore. And, you know, HBO is starting to get themselves into a position where they're getting expensive. See, everything's turned into this, like, a la carte service now. You know, you want to buy a boxing match, you want to buy a football game, you know, and the money for HBO is just that extra money, and people want to, like, start streamlining, I think. That's where it's coming from. But it's an interesting that 2.5 million HBO customers, you know, that you're missing now.
No, that's a huge number. But, you know, even though boxing, you know, they look at the percent, you know, on viewership at boxing does in between a 3 and a 1, like on network TV. But a lot of people signed up for those subscriber-based television, like Showtime and HBO, okay? And a lot of them did it to watch boxing on the HBO network. So you have to look at when you come out with a major announcement that you're going to drop boxing and why a lot of people sign up to watch boxing. You know, even though at some point in time a million, everybody don't tune into boxing on a pay-per-view all at once. You know, they may want to watch this, pay for this pay-per-view, and they miss a couple, and you know what I mean? They're doing something, they don't sign in. But it has something to do with boxing in that subscriber-based television. With Tyson, with HBO, when he, Tyson, when he was with HBO, the subscriber base numbers went up and they went off the chain. And when he moved to Showtime, people start buying Showtime for boxing. So it really works in this subscriber-based television to have something that people like to watch on television. And when those numbers go down, that means when people start not subscribing to HBO, then their numbers go down. And I guess, you know, the distributors say, hey, look, the rate or the money has to change of what we're doing here. When that happens, it becomes a dispute. The money ain't the same, Bob. So when the money ain't the same, that's, you know, that's what happens. Yeah, so as we go around the world, you know, we're having technical difficulties again with our feed. And this is something that happens. A lot of people are tuning in around. We're going to have to wait till everything catches up computer-wise.
Hello.
Yeah, Bob.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Yeah, I lost you again.
I didn't know what happened there. Yeah, so, okay.
Yeah. I was talking about following up. And for our listening audience, you know, as you heard Bob say, 17 countries around the world, you know, a lot of people at the same time try to log in, and when that traffic wave gets crowded into our airways to our internet site, these things happen. So, Bob, what else do we got going on around the world, Bob?
Well, I'll tell you what, we have something happening next week on Thursday in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I think you might know something about this.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm going to turn it to Henry Hascop here. So.
Well, come on, Henry Hascop, one of the greatest boxing historians on the planet. Him and Tony Trim, what a job do they do. But come on, Bob, give us a Henry style, baby.
Yeah, well, anyway, that was just... can tell you what we're talking about here. November 8th, that's the day coming up now, next Thursday, New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame holding its 49th annual dinner and induction ceremonies. It'll take place at the beautiful Venetian located in Garfield, New Jersey. And, you know, we'll get back to afterwards where to go, look for tickets and all that. But there's 14 of boxing's finest will be inducted into the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame. And we start off with a name that we know quite well here on the show, and a good friend of yours, Mustafa Amin, getting in. He worked with many world champions, of course, Muhammad Ali, the Klitschko brothers, longtime business manager for Matthew Saad Muhammad. And do you want to just go through all these first and then comment on
them?
Go down the list. Okay, so Mustafa Amin, top of the Charles Boston. He was rated as high as number 5 by the WBA with wins over Dwight Davison and Errol Christie. He also fought Harold Graham and world champions Doug DeWitt and Michael Nunn. Michael Covington getting inducted, former amateur champion who went on to win his first 22 fights as a professional, beating Eric Mitchell and Larry Marks along the way. We also have Lenny De Jesus. He's a corner man for about 40 years, cut man and a trainer. Lenny worked the corner with the likes of Angelo Dundee, Eddie Futch, Al Gavin, Carlos Ortiz, just to name a few of the greats. And also some of the fighters that he worked with are Roberto Duran, Hector Camacho, Wilfredo Gomez, Wilfredo Benitez, and most recently Joel Casamoyer and Manny Pacquiao. Harvey Dock, he worked 18 title fights and 14 minor title fights, and his first title fight was in November of 2007 in Atlantic City with WBO champion Juan Guzman and Humberto Sato. Among the other fights he refereed, Errol Spence Jr., Lamont Peterson, Carl Frampton, Leo Santa Cruz, Daniel Jacobs, and Peter Quillo. Also, Calvin Grove, he's the former IBF featherweight champion who fought 32 times in New Jersey. He scored wins over Antonio Rivera, Myron Taylor, Julian Solos, Virgilio Tour, Troy Dorsey, and Jeff Fenix. Also, Kendall Holt, he's the former WBO World Super Lightweight title holder who won the title with a sensational first-round knockout over Ricardo Torres after being dropped twice himself. So that all happened in 61 seconds of the first round. And also, he beat Demetrius Hopkins and lost the split decision to Danny Garcia. also fought Timothy Bradley and Lamont Peterson. Alan Rubinstein, the boxing judge, an 8-time winner of the Boxing Judge of the Year, Salute the Philly Boxers. He has been a professional judge since the early 1990s, working mainly in Philadelphia, New York, and New Jersey. And we have Lee Samuels. He's top-ranked publicist. He's with Bob Arum's Top Rank since they launched the Thursday Night ESPN Weekly Series. And Lee has worked with many world champions and contenders at all levels of the sport for 35 years. And the journey has taken Lee around the world on media tours and events, and he presently works as a coordinator for Top Rank. And Lee's awards include the 2006 BWAA Good Guy Award, 2012 WBC Legends Award, 2013 Boxing Writers of America Association Long and Meritorious Service Award, 2014 Salem County, New Jersey Sports Hall of Fame, and the 2016 BWAA Courage Award. And we have Kevin Watts. He's a former USBA NABF middleweight champion who holds wins over James Hard Rock Green, Dwight Walker, Tony Thornton, Dwight Davis, and John Scully, Sonal Sullivan, Tyrone Frazier, and lost a close decision to Frank Tate. Also lost to Michael Nunn and Steve Collins. And we'll just mention the posthumous inductees, Tommy Dundee. He's the former bantamweight who fought throughout the 1920s. Beating such standouts as young Joe Furpo, battling Al Murray and Marty Gold. Frankie Letta, he was the former lightweight who fought and beat some of the best, including Freddie Russo, who only lost twice in his previous 59 fights. Also scored big wins over Harold Vallon and twice against Clint Miller, but also fought Ali Stoltz. And we also have Joseph Rinaldi. He's the founder of the USA Boxing News, which has become a full-scale sports newspaper circulated on newsstands in 48 states, 4 continents, and 10 countries, along with being distributed in all of the U.S. Armed Services bases throughout the world. Also, the Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame honors Senior Amateur Boxer of the Year, Khalid Coe, who's one of the country's top amateurs. Also, Junior Olympic Amateur, Zahid Salam, who has won several titles. We also have Vito Milnicki, the National Youth Champion and the Pro Boxer of the Year for New Jersey. Thomas Cornflake Lamont, a guy we followed here on the World Boxing Review, 26-2-1 record, moving up the welterweight ladder. And he's the official, as well as the amateur official, Rodney Price, who we're getting an honor to. He was inducted into the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame back in 2016 and is now the top amateur official and coach of the year. Armand Elliott trained several amateur champions the past few years, plus the 2018 Man of the Year, Randy Newman, who was New Jersey State heavyweight champion and a world-rated heavyweight back in the 1970s with wins over Chuck Wepner and Jimmy Young, and he also fought Jerry Quarry. And Randy also refereed over 50 world title fights and is now working with the IBF. And there's one other name I didn't get to mention. It's saving the best for last. We have Aaron Snowell, the Hall of Fame trainer of champions.
And that's right. And, Bob, guess what? We have the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame president and a boxing historian, our radio show, who does a great job every week. Henry Hascop, man, thank you. You do so much great things all around the world for people in boxing, you know, from announcing this statue, that statue, when they're putting legendary people statues of them. You do so much in boxing, but thank you and welcome to the World Boxing Review.
Well, thank you, Aaron. And Bobby, you read that exactly the way I thought I wrote it, but yeah, this Thursday night is going to be a special night for the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame. We're hitting at least 450 right now and as far as attendance goes, and I'm still getting calls.
Wow, sure, yeah.
So, you know, people are coming to my house, so it's more tickets, and so it's going to be really a good night. You know, we have, you know, Chuck Wepner coming down. I know he's not doing that well right now. He kind of lost like 45 pounds, and, you know, he's suffering bad, but, you know, he's hopefully on the way to recovery. He's going to be there, and Bobby Chez, and I think Harold Weston, I think he's coming down. So,
yeah.
So, it'll be a very, very entertaining night, and, you know, like it always is. I mean, this is our 49th annual induction ceremonies. We've been an organization. Actually, this Thursday will be 50 years when it was actually founded, right to the day. It was November 8th, 1968, by a guy by the name of Adrian Bailey. And we're still going strong. So it's, you know, can't wait to this thing. Can't wait to Thursday. Put it that way.
Well, we were talking earlier. I said that you're busier than a one-legged dog in a butt-whooping contest, and
yeah,
you're putting it together. But Henry, talk a little bit about the hall. This hall, man. Everybody comes from all over to have weddings and all kind
of
big Fortune
well,
500
the Venetian,
business affairs.
Yeah, the Venetian is. You know, years ago it used to be called a Cameo, and then someone else bought it out, and they really remodeled it and built on, and they got this really gorgeous looking room that could seat as many as 1,000 if I open up all the, you know, they open up all the petitions and everything like this. I mean, thing is, you know, you can go online, just Google Venetian Garfield, New Jersey. I think it's one of the premier catering places, you know, in the metropolitan area. I mean, I had people come from California a couple of years ago, and the lady, you know, she goes all over, and this lady goes to New York and California and all over the country. She says she never seen anything like it. She was that impressed with this place. So, and the food is really outstanding. I mean, you know, for an hour we have like these hors d'oeuvres that are going around. We have lamb chops, who everybody just loves, and you know, shrimp and all kind of other stuff. Just 1 hour, you know, continuously bringing out food. Then they have, you know, steak, and they have swordfish, and they have some kind of chicken. They have vegetarian you know, food for anybody that wants it. Beer, wine, and soda all night long. You know, it's the price is $90, and you know, it's actually one of the cheaper Hall of Fames going. Because a lot of people, you know, they want me to raise the price up more. But as long as we don't lose money and we can gain a little bit, and what we do with the money is, you know, we support, you know, the down-and-out fighters. You know, if they need, you know, a meal in their mouth or a rent paid or the gas and electric bill or even, you know, God forbid, one of them passes away and don't have, you know, the family don't have money for funeral expenses, you know, we try to do our best to pay that. And, you know, we don't broadcast it because, you know, if they said Aaron Snowell, you know, we gave, let's say, $4,000 to Aaron Snowell. I mean, it you know, he'd probably feel a little embarrassed, you know. So we try to keep it under the UT, you know, so nobody gets offended. But that's where the money goes. And, you know, nobody in the Hall of Fame makes a penny. I mean, everybody pays for their own tickets. I even pay for my tickets, my wife's ticket, my ticket. And, you know, so, you know, everything goes to the Hall of Fame itself. And like I said, we donate not only to the ex-boxers, but also the amateur program. You know, we, in fact, we started a state championship bouts in New Jersey, and just about all the proceeds go to the amateur program. I mean, it's sanctioned by the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame, and you know, they, you know, the promoter pays us, you know, a sanction fee, and we automatically give it to the amateurs because they need our help too. So it's, you know, it's really a great organization. I'm really proud to be their president. I'm ending my 33rd year as the president, so it's been a long run, and hopefully it continues for whatever, you know, whenever. So that's about it, you know.
Yeah, well,
that's a long time, Andy. Yeah, that's a long time. But give a good job.
Yeah, it's
buddy.
Like,
yeah, good.
Like a third of a century, you know.
Yeah. Well, look, from all of these statues that go up from honoring, you know, legendary fighters in different towns and cities that you go and speak, you know, the time and effort and the money that you put up, man, is just unbelievable. You know, a lot of this is done out of your pocket, the gas, you know, putting there, you know, And it's really something special when it comes, and I want to thank you for doing that, you know.
Yeah,
because
well,
without,
you know,
fighters, without fighters and doing something for them after, you know, they retire and thing, we're all nothing. It's them who put themselves on the line, you know, fight after fight,
yeah,
event after event. And when you have guys who give back to them long since they have climbed in the ring, sure enough a blessing, and that's what you do, Henry. But the state itself of New Jersey, with Larry Hazard being the boxing commission and you being the president of the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame, definitely you guys are the leader in the forefront that how to do things in boxing and do it very well.
The commissioner has supported us since day one. He's going to be there Thursday night too. I forgot to mention that. Hope he's not listening. You know, but he supports us every year. I mean, that goes without saying. I think out of the 33 years I've been president, he made 31 of them. The only other time he missed was when there was a fight somewhere or a personal problem, but he's always there to support us, and it gives us gives it a little more pizzazz when he's there, you know, because he is the commissioner for as long as I've been for the president of the Hall of Fame, and we work together pretty well, doing that, and he's a wonderful individual.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me tell you, we can't forget your wife, Henry. She does. She's always by your side. She's always helping you some way, somehow. And we want to thank her, too, because it's definitely an effort that, you know, you put your time and things like that. But it takes a understanding spouse who's always right there by your side, and family members that continuously supports you in all that effort that you do and everything that you are doing.
Yeah.
And that's what makes stuff go so well.
Yeah,
you know?
We have a good committee, like Dennis Murphy. He runs the credit card thing, and he works at Door. And Steve Weisfeld, of course, he's one of the best judges around. He's also on a committee. But getting back to my wife, I mean, God always has a plan, I always say, you know. Back in 1981, I became a single parent. I don't know if you know that, but I had four small kids. One was just turning 10. I had an 8, a 5, and a 3. And I became a single parent. I raised them for 8 years by myself. And then I met Joyce, who didn't live too far from us. You know, just around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Their kids knew my kids. And make a long story short, she also had four kids. And I had a Sub-Aran Husky, and she had a Sub-Aran Husky. And we put it all together, and we got married. And then we took in two kids. So we had 10 kids, two Siberian Huskies, and us. You know, it was quite a thing. You know, her kids lived in a finished basement. My kids lived in the second floor, and we lived in between. We felt like we were the cream on the Oreo cookie. You know, but things worked out, and I tell you, I tell her every day, you know, how much I love her, and I don't know what I would do without her. I mean, she's made my life so simple, you know, so much better. You know, if I need something right away, like now, I'll need maybe more ink. She'll go in the store and just fly ink. I need this mailed. She gets mail. You know, I need stamps, and she just does it. And, you know, she don't even say nothing. I'm going out. You know, I'm getting it. And she takes care of me like you wouldn't believe. And,
you do a lot. And that's amazing what you do and to have the time for do it. In the spirit to do it, and it's keeping you young, you know. To do stuff like that, when you start getting up in age, you have to have that young spirit to keep on doing
listen,
it fluid.
It ain't as rewarding
as people think. You get a lot of problems along the way, too.
Yeah. Listen,
you know?
I have to cut you short because I'm getting phone calls now. And, I'll see you Thursday, and, and any more tickets, just let me know, because my phone is on the hook
Dilemma.
Now. And,
We're trying to fire up that limo, man, and the limo's not working, Bob. The limo's not working.
Well, the phone stopped ringing, so I can stay on.
Yeah. Hey, no, we need you to call back.
No, the phone stopped ringing, so you know they'll call back. You know, they'll call back. Hopefully, you know, like I said, you know, I always have a last day for tickets and everything like this, but you know how people are. Last day was supposed to be Thursday. I only had like 300 tickets sold. You know, from now until Thursday. That's only 2 days. I got another 150 sold, so it's, you know.
It's amazing because all the people, you know, it's just times people, you know, they want to come, they want to attend, and, you know, people, you know, I hate to say it, they want to walk up to the gate and, you know, buy a ticket, you know.
It makes it rough on the people at the door because, you know, it just gets hectic that way because, you got to think it like it's a wedding, you know what I mean? You know, you got to say how many people are coming and, you know, you got to put everything down. And if people walk up to the door, then you don't even know where to sit them, you know.
All
the tables are taken out. Okay, let me go. I'll see you Thursday.
All right, thanks, Henry, so much.
Thank you.
Henry Hascop, president of the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame and the World Boxing Review historian. Thank you, Henry, man. Thank you for in your committee for bringing my name to the table and to vote yes to induct me into the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame. It is an indeed pleasure to be a part of boxing greats that are already in the hall and to be etched in stone in New Jersey. Bob, you know, I did live in New Jersey at one time. I lived in New Jersey, in Abseken, New Jersey, for some years earlier in my career when we were doing a lot of fights New Jersey.
Atlantic City. Yeah,
in Atlantic City at the Playboy Club. Tim Witherspoon, you know, manager. Mark Stewart for the Playboy Club.
Okay.
And we used to stay and train in the Playboy Club in New Jersey, you know, for a long time.
Yeah.
When they had fights on NBC, CBS, ABC. Back in those days, in the early 80s. So New Jersey's always been a great place for me and in my career. You know, Ricky Parquet, funny story, Bob. Ricky Parquet, who has the fastest knockout in the history of boxing, right? He was sick.
8 seconds.
he was sick. And he came to me, said, "Look, Aaron, I want to fight," but he had this terrible cold. And I said, "You want to fight? What do you plan on doing?" He said, "I plan on winning." So I said, "You plan on winning?" I said, "Well, we can fight then." So we worked on a 1, 2, 3 steps in the overhand right, and we drilled and drilled and drilled for to pull him off. Because it was a Hail Mary full of grace. And boy, did we get the grace and the glory and all of that because he landed it. And it was just one of those shocking things in the sport. And went on to take him to win the IBF International Boxing Federation Cruiserweight title. He beat an undefeated fighter named Leroy Murphy over in Italy when he won the title. And he really, really put something on Leroy Murphy's butt that night. And he shocked everybody. No one thought that he was going to win. But, you know, also, Tyson in Atlantic City. When I was training Mike, boy, oh boy, those were the great glory days of Mike Tyson. I'll call it Truth Williams. You know, he had knocked Michael Spinks out in 91 seconds of the first round. I didn't train him at that time, Kevin Rooney. But after that fight, I started training Mike Tyson. And that first fight was Frank Bruno. You know, it's a hard road to glory. It's the agony of defeat, and it's the thrill of victory. Bob, you know, most people think of Mike Tyson, wow, it's a big gift. But when I started training Mike Tyson, Bob, Mike Tyson was over 300 and some pounds in Ohio.
Man, yeah.
And we start working with him. We got his weight down. His weight started dropping off fast, and things just lined up. And he kept me on as his trainer. When I got all that weight off him, I was down in Orwell, Ohio at Don's training camp. I was training Julian Jackson at the time. And a matter of fact, in Atlantic City, listen to this, Bob. Julian Jackson fought Terry Norris at Trump Plaza. Mike Tyson fought Call of Truth and not Call of Truth out in a minute and I think it was a minute and 1 second. You know, it was just a few seconds short of that fast knockout that he had with Michael Spinks. And
right.
Julian Jackson followed it up by knocking Terry Norris out on the Wide World of Sports in Atlantic City. Now isn't that something? Just some amazing day.
Yeah.
Yo, man, great, great memories. You remember Merv Griffin?
Griffin. Yeah.
Yeah, Resorts International.
No, he was involved with Resorts, exactly. That was like the first, the original casino there.
Yeah. When Atlantic City in the early 80s started coming back, we did fights at the Resorts. Tim Witherspoon fought his first 10-round fight at Resorts International, you know, against Marvin Stenson, a vet. I mean, Marvin Stenson was Larry Holmes' chief sparring partners, and, you know, he was around the game a long time. But, you know, that was Tim Witherspoon's first event. And also, Tim Witherspoon on NBC Sports World. Alfonso Ratliff, who ended up being the WBC Cruiserweight champion later after fighting Tim Witherspoon, him and Tim Witherspoon were undefeated. Alfonso Ratliff's trainer was Ernie Terrell. Remember Ernie Terrell?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
former heavyweight champion. He trained him. Slim Robinson, who was my mentor and teacher, was there when Tim fought Alfonso Ratliff. And great Percy Richardson, a great cut man from New Jersey, worked the corner with us on NBC Sports World, and Tim Witherspoon won that fight. Both of them were undefeated. It was a matchup that was second to none that everybody wanted to look at. They had heard of Terrible Tim from Ali all the time, banging his name around, and, you know, people we would go spar with, such as Jerry Cooney. We went up in the Catskill Mountains to spar with Jerry Cooney when he was fighting Ken Norton down in the Garden, you know, Michael Spinks, Leon Spinks, Greg Page up in the Catskill Mountains. But also in New Jersey, up in McAfee, New Jersey, was the Playboy Club. They were doing fights with Eddie Mustafa Muhammad when he was light heavyweight champion of the world. He went up there and defended his title up there in New Jersey when we were with him. So, man, New Jersey's always been a great place for me with boxing and everything. So, man, this is almost brings tears to my eye. My oldest daughter, Miquan, she still lives in New Jersey. You know, she's a 919 operator, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, she's She's getting up in age. Let me tell you, she's over 30. I don't want to tell you her exact age because she might get mad at me. and then it exposed me how old I am. But she's getting up there in age, Bob.
Hey, you know, I just want to take another moment here, Aaron, just to let everybody know a little bit more about you, too. You know, up to 30 world champions over 30-year career. You know, I just want to read some of the names, partial list of the names of people that you've trained. And we're talking, of course, Mike Tyson, Tim Witherspoon, Julian Jackson, Ricky Parkey, Frankie Randall. That was that big night up in opening night there at the MGM Grand in Vegas back in 84 with a big underdog. Big fight for you. Also, Michael Nunn, Hector Camacho, Fran Butha, Simon Brown, Teron Miller, Richard Hall, Nate Jones, who was on the show, Larry Donald, Tim Austin, Greg Page, Owen Beck, Michael Doakes, and Pinklin Thomas. And that's just a partial list. Man, you're a walking encyclopedia of champions, brother. It's great. Yeah, oh, man, this is wonderful stuff. And, of course, you know, you're the youngest trainer. You train a heavyweight champion with Tim Witherspoon. Recently inducted into the National Boxing Hall of Fame this year too, and you know just an incredible career you had too. And I just want to also ask you a little question too. That we'll go ahead, comment on that, and I have one other question too.
All right, come on, Bob. What's the other?
No, I just want to know. No, just the you're the WBC official ambassador. So tell us a little bit what that entails too. People might not know what that means. Sounds like just the title. You know, what do you do with that?
Yeah, well, before I get into that, just since you mentioned the WBC, I also received the WBA, the World Boxing Association Trainer of the Year Award, in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
In Atlantic
City.
And if you remember, Mr. Benz, who we had on our show, played in Rocky and all that, who was the vice president, a lawyer. Yeah. He was the master of ceremonies for the WBA when I got my award from the WBA in Atlantic City for being Trainer of the Year award. And Mary Muhammad, I got the IBF Trainer of the Year award too with them also. But the WBC Ambassador Award, I was in 1992, I was named the WBC Trainer of the Year Award by the great Jose Suleiman.
Right.
And,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So I had, been doing a lot of community work with the nonprofits and a lot of stuff for kids, you know, with the free summer camp that we put on, the tutoring programs and the feeding programs and all that.
Right.
So Mr. Suleiman heard about that, him and Jill Diamond and them, and they have the WBC Cares nonprofit sec. So they called me on the phone and told me that they wanted to give me that award, and, you know, they wanted to name me the official ambassador. They said, tell me what you want, because this is it. All the great work that we were doing, all of that stuff for the kids. And that's what happens. And entail with that is to promote goodwill and help support the sport of boxing in a good way and help people. That's what it's basically about. And Mr. Jose Suleiman stands for that. He stood for that. He practiced that, you know. And his son, who's now the president, Mauricio Suleiman, he's the same way. They fought hard, as you know, with the pardon, that WBC belt that the president was holding up. That's who I'm the ambassador of. And Mauricio was there at the White House and, you know, his champions and stuff like that. So, man, it's a long journey, Bob. And
your work with Jack Johnson alone, the Jack Johnson work alone that you've done in the last year or so, too, is worthy of accolades as well, too, because that's an important piece. And, you know, you got to watch all that happen this year with Trump issuing the pardon after a long, hard road that you guys, you know, and the late Senator John McCain, we talked about all that stuff. But, yeah, you just, you're out there, you're well-known in the boxing world. So you do a good job as the ambassador, because one of the things an ambassador does is is to promote, and you certainly do. You know.
Well, yeah. you can't do it without working together with people like yourself, Bob, who is committed to the World Boxing Review radio show to get the news out and do all the things that you do media-wise, because people have not yet seen what we're capable of doing. This is just a small test, as you well know, Bob. And
right.
Like we had said earlier, we have to raise it in stages, you know, because the working capital that you need to do all of this stuff is just amazing that we're able to do what we do now. you know.
Some people knew what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I know. But it's a blessing to have a seasoned veteran like you, and to call you who you are, the radio aficionado, a second to none, because I watch you all the time in the radio station all by yourself, cut promotions, do the ads, get online. I mean the technical field to operate all the machinery, all of that, and do a great show, man. It's just phenomenal at what you're able to do. It just amazes me. But that's what working together does, and also with Jack Johnson. Speaking of that, you know, Will Williams and John Perry and them guys who are with me on that. They do a great job, you know. They're all in, you know. From us going and sitting down in a coffee shop and going over detailed things that we needed to get this going, to sit down and write a grant and receive the grant to bring Jack Johnson's a film alive for the county PDA board in Franklin County called the Tourism Board to help promote tourism and to put Jack Johnson in a positive light so we can do the things we need in the community all over with Jack Johnson. So that happened. You know, we got seed money to get it started. State Representative Bobby Richardson, stage, we met with her, and she was in. She believed in the project once we sat down and told her about it, and we sold her, and she went all in. So there's a lot of Senator Butterfield, who was at the time when we got it, he was president of the Black Caucus
right.
in Washington. And as you know, they were with the president on this pardon, the Black Party. They supported it. And Senator Butterfield, we met with him, and he was supportive. He said that it was long since passed. And Senator McCain, who I knew for a long time, as I told you before, Duke Durden and myself used to meet Senator McCain all the time and have lunch with him. Duke Durden, who was the former in the 70s, the Nevada Athletic Commissioner.
Right.
So it takes a lot of people to make things happen. Like Henry Haskop, I know he's going through it around this time. You know, you're a few days out. Like he said, he's real busy in spite of all the rest that he does and things that he does. So hey, just one thing after another, Bob. We got 60 seconds. Do you want to close on anything?
Yeah, you know what? I want to take a chance here to give a shout-out to your brother, Dougie. Man, he's a good buddy of mine. I've known Dougie. He used to talk to me like when you were out of town. Say, what's up with Aaron? And you know, he'd keep me updated. And he's not doing too well, so I just want to give him a shout-out and hope for the best for him. And I hope he gets better.
Yeah, well, the family is up under some due pressure, and we need the people's prayers, and prayer ain't but the tool that changes things, and the Lord is the healer, and right now we need a miracle, and we need some healing.
Right.
My brother Dougie is something special. He was a 1966 valuable player when he was a freshman up in Pottsville High School in basketball. You know, he was a great athlete. He's a veteran. He was in, you know, the Vietnam War. And people like Dougie. If you know, go to Pottsville, Dougie Snowwell, everybody knows Doug.
See that green truck, man, drive around. We see that green truck coming down the street.
Yeah,
the green truck.
Yeah, that's the money truck, Bob. That's the money truck. That's the money truck. Hey, well, it looks like we have to close, Bob.
Without
further ado, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions, and our radio aficionado, Bob Murray, who brings you all around the world, and our great boxing historian and president of the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame, man, Henry Haskup. Thank you so much, man. Tune in next week, 11 to 12. Thanks.
We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.